For instance, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth." Okay, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 8:5-7, he says, "For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh." Not talking about going out and sinning, raping, murdering. Where's your mind? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Maybe they're not even bad civil things of the flesh. Maybe they're just the first creation things of the flesh. That's what the mind is. Those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal." Do you know how many Christians have their minds, their lives, wrapped up and fixed on something that's temporary, that's going to be taken away from them, and they're going to have nothing when it is? Their whole life, or on temporary things. And it can be religious temporary things. It's not to be carnal, wicked, sinful things. So those who are living in the second creation, they'll seek those things which are from above. Those who are living in the second creation, they will set their affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Those who are living in the second creation will understand that their citizenship is in heaven, not in any earthly nation. Those who are living in the second creation, they fix their eyes on those things which are unseen, not the things which are seen. Those who are living in the first second creation, I mean, they mind the things of the Spirit. They keep their mind on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the earth or in the flesh. So now I just touched on a few of the areas where there's a vast difference between the first and the second creation tonight. Okay, I could probably make this another series, but I don't think I will. What I do is I encourage you to do a fresh reading of the four Gospels with this kind of reality in your minds, and look closely how Jesus related to the things of the first creation, to the Roman culture, to the family unit, you know, to the place of money and wealth. I mean, this everything else relates to the first creation. Look how he related to it. Look what he said about it. See, God sent Jesus down in here, and this earth, and this first creation earth was fallen and unredeemable, and in the midst of that, Jesus walked in the second creation. It's incredible. It's just incredible. I mean, he came on a religious scene at the most turbulent time in Jewish history, but he didn't address any of the things that pertain to the first creation. I mean, his message was continually focused on the new creation. People would complain to him about the political bondage they were in or other things, and his only reply would be, you know, he'd turn around and address their spiritual bondage, their sin. He'd say, you know, but you're in sin. He was free and free indeed. Follow me. He walked through that life, and the culture didn't even faze him. The political bondage didn't faze him. This first creation didn't faze him. His focus was on the second creation and bringing people into that second creation. That was the emphasis of his ministry, invisible things. He was continually pointing people to intangible things like forgiveness, righteousness, peace, and joy. And the Apostle Paul continued that same emphasis in his ministry. It's all about the new man. It's all about the new man. So as we see the end of our world approaching, I just encourage everybody to be more determined than ever to walk every minute of every day in the new creation. Let God show you what it will take to walk in the new creation, what it costs, and give us the strength to actually do it. We need to let our lives and our identity and our joy and our hope be in the things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. We need to have our minds off of this earthly existence. Now, it's not wrong to understand what's going on in the church system, to understand who's preaching apostasy, to understand what's going on in the political system. It's not wrong to understand that and have a grip on it. But that can't be where our minds are continually, where identity is. The first creation is about to pass away forever. And if that's where your life is, if that's where your joy is, you're going to be empty in the day of trouble. You're never going to stand. So now's the time to learn how to walk in the second Adam. Now's the time to walk in the new creation, okay, in a new man, to live and move and have our being in a new man. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow, it may be too late. I guess that's about it. Anybody have anything you'd like to share or add or complain about or anything like that? One second, guys. I think the mama wants to say something.
Hi, everybody.
They can hear you. Go ahead.
I wanted to share something that the Lord spoke to my heart very real this week. As I was meditating over the condition of this country, the Lord spoke the scriptures to me about in Matthew, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And in Matthew 24, it says, "They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And as I was meditating over what's going on in the political world with Sarah Palin, I felt the Lord spoke to my heart that this election is just the first starting of showing his people how Christians are hated. Most people that are bashing her, the media and the press, she's being bashed and her character is being assassinated like no one else has ever been. And it's only because we don't know if she's a Christian or not. She may be a Rick Warner Christian. We don't know. But they think she's a Christian. They know she's a pro-lifer, and they think she's a Christian, and they hate her. And you can feel the hate. We got a paper yesterday from one of the pro-lifers that had quoted some horrible things the paper had written about her. And I felt the Lord really spoke to my heart. You know, as Sissy said at the beginning, God is in control. God is in control. There's a reason he allowed her to be chosen as a vice president. God never does anything without a reason. And God allowed it. And I believe he allowed it to point out to his people how close we are to these scriptures being fulfilled. He's trying to show us the hatred that's in the heart of people for Christians and for what they stand for. And he's trying to tell us to be prepared, like Daniel was saying today about walking in a new creature in a new way. He's trying to prepare us and let us know through this action, through what's happening, this hatred and venom that's coming out towards Sarah Palin, letting us know that because they think she's a Christian, it doesn't matter what we think she is, and if she isn't a Christian, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that they think she's a Christian, and they hate her because they think she's a Christian, and they know that what she stands for. They know that she's against murdering babies before they're born. And they hate that. They really, really hate that. And I'm wondering if is this the reason, or at least one of the reasons, that God allowed her to be raised up to show his people how close we are to these scriptures being fulfilled. Because these scriptures were given to his disciples when they asked him for a sign of the end. Tell us when the end's coming, what are going to be some men hated of all nations for my sake. And the end of this is persecution and being killed. And so it behooves us to live in a new creation. It behooves us to put everything aside of the old creation and live and walk in a new creation, because we're going to need that strength and that life to take us through what's coming on the earth. And you know, I think of these Christians that put up these papers about Sarah Palin, they don't want the woman to, this country will be cursed if it's run by a woman. They're not even seeing the point that God's trying to tell them because of their other foolishness and other foolish thoughts. But I want to tell you this. One, there's two things about Sarah Palin. She is fighting against the evil that Barack Hussein Obama stands for. She's fighting against that evil. And another thing, she's covered by a man. A woman didn't choose her. She didn't put herself there. A man chose her. The man that the Republican Party chose to be their presidential candidate chose her to be her covering. She's not ruling. He is her covering. And if anybody knows anything about, they know that he's not going to submit, should he get in. He's not going to submit to a vice president's policies. The vice president will submit to his policies. So what's all this thing about, oh, poor nation, we're going to be cursed if a woman gets in, instead of saying, God, why? Why did you allow her to get in? What do you really want to show me? What do you really want to show me through this? Can I lay down my little perks and funny feelings about things to find out the real reason why you allowed Sarah Palin to be chosen to be the vice president candidate? Can I lay down all my little petty feelings and ask God, why, Lord? Why did you allow this? it could very well be that he allowed it to show us how, the hate that the world has for Christians, and that these scriptures are about to be fulfilled within the next years or so. Thank you so much.
Anybody else have anything? Grace says, even so, come Lord quickly. Amen. The saints of old knew how to live in the new creation. They were burned. Yep. Amen. Cut in two. Love not the lies and death. Okay. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Looks like, did Peggy, do you have your hand up? Yeah. Hang on a second. Go ahead, Peggy.
Okay. Well, I feel the hate at work. I don't bring it up too often, but if something does come up and I don't preach, but if I have something to input, this person that at a desk next to me, you can see the anger and the hatred just fly into her, and she challenges me, and I have other people around me, someone who practices Wicca that sits behind me, and she's I could tell you a lot about that, but you know, a lot of people, they will rise up and be very intolerant. But it's not new to me. God made me come to a crossroads when he was calling me. I knew that I had to make a decision. My husband was, it's kind of hard to set the stage, but at that point in time, I was trying to serve God and man, God and my husband. And he, for 6 months, I tried really hard to please both. And God brought me to my knees and showed me that I could only serve him. I knew all along, if I chose God, my husband would reject me because of my Christian faith. And it wasn't a spoken thing. I didn't have to speak about the Lord. He just knew. And it was a long road. It was a real road of trials and what I would consider persecution, and to the point where he wanted to leave me and the kids. But God worked that out in his own way. It wasn't through anything that I did. It was just following him. So, but my whole point was the persecution that comes on us, it is not a bad thing. And, you know, I don't regret anything that I've gone through, because it strengthened my walk. It matured me in the faith. And it was difficult, but at the same time, I could thank the Lord for everything that I went through.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing, Peggy. That's right. And I'm not decrying persecution because I'm scared or I don't want to go through it. I'm just saying what my point is, there's a lot of people who think they're ready for it, and they're not, to my point. There's nothing wrong with going through persecution. It's a good thing. You know, the Lord says when you suffer persecution, count all joy. But the thing is, there's a lot of Christians who say they're ready, and they're not. And it'll be too late to find out once it comes down the pipe. If you're not ready, you're not going to get ready when it happens. Nobody's going to die a martyr's death unless they're living a martyr's life. You don't get that kind of martyr mentality, that kind of courage at the last minute. It doesn't happen. You've got to live a martyr's life when you go into that thing. And many Christians are assuming that God's going to take care of them. First of all, they're assuming they're not going to be persecuted. They're assuming that everybody else around is going to be persecuted, but he's going to save them, which is preposterous, because you look down through history, why didn't God save all the martyrs? That's just more the rapture doctrine seeping through into other areas of their life. Still, even if you accept that persecution is good and you're willing to go through it, still you got to be ready for it. Or it's not, you're not going to go through successfully, let's put it that way. So I'm just encouraging people to get ready. Because I tell you, it's one thing to sit here and talk about persecution. Honestly, guys, It's another thing to watch somebody come in, take your wife, take your children, start skinning alive. There's a lot of talk going around, and it's cheap. I just know by the Spirit that some of the people I'm talking to that say they're ready ain't ready. They're not going to be ready for what's coming. And so, unless you're already living a martyr's life, and that's what I'm talking about. You get that second creation, the new creation, it's a martyr's life, okay? So I don't want you to think that I'm saying, oh, it's terrible. You know, be scared. Be fearful. You know, persecution is coming. I'm just saying a lot of people ain't ready for it, and they think they are. So I'm encouraging everybody just to make sure that they're ready. Just make sure that you're ready as much as possible. And a good way to do that is live a martyr's life now. Okay? All right. Anybody else have anything? Griffith says, my husband, who says he's a Christian, is much more focused on the things of the world rather than the things of God. And because of this, we're going further. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's happened to a lot of people, though. Listen, anybody has marriage problems, generally speaking, I can say this. You follow your conscience, and you follow what Jesus Christ is telling you to do. Really. Everybody's got to follow their conscience. Be true to your conscience, and be true to what you feel God's telling you to do. That's what's going to answer for in the end. And if God is first in our life, if he can save our relatives, if he can bring them around, he will. See, that's what the word sanctified. You know, when Paul says about your children are sanctified and your spouse is sanctified, that doesn't mean your spouse is saved just because you're saved, or it guarantees salvation to your spouse just because you're saved. Sanctified there means set apart. There's two different meanings of the word sanctification. The first meaning of the word sanctification just means simply set apart for God's use. Now, if you're a believer and you're married to an unbeliever and you have children, your spouse and your children are sanctified in the sense that God views them in a different way than he views the regular sinner out there in the world. He views them differently for your sake. They're sanctified to set apart in a sense that he's going to try and work with them for your sake. That's what he's talking about. Just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean squat for your husband or your wife or your children. If they die unsaved, they're going to go to hell just like anybody else. But you're sanctified in the sense that God views that situation differently than the normal pagan out there is lost. And for your sake, they're set apart in a sense he's going to deal with them. He's going to try and deal with them for your sake to bring them salvation. But there's no guarantee they're going to come to salvation. So that's what that scripture means. But when we're in that kind of situation, the marriage part is very rough, I know. But just follow your conscience and follow the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's who you're going to answer to in the end, God. Thanks for your info. Oh, you're welcome. Did anybody listen to the Jeremy Corsi audios? People are so stupid. He came out and said in his book, you know, I'm going to defend the Muslims. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a big secret. He's lying to cover it now, but he said it in a book he wrote. Oh, well. You know what? I was listening to a talk show the other night, or last week, and the guy was saying, I don't understand how all these people can vote for Obama. I don't understand how they can vote for Obama. You know, and I typed in, it's spiritual, man. God has given him over to delusion. You know, he didn't acknowledge it, and nobody else in the room acknowledged it. But okay, Cito says, if we can't live a solid, sold-out life for him now, though we won't be able to die for what we can. That's right. Amen. That's what I believe. Anybody else have anything they'd like to bring up or share? Hugh says, all my friends can't understand why you're not voting for him. Yeah, because you went to school with him. Remember you telling me that. Did the reporters come and hound you anymore about him? Not since 2 months ago. That's good. Karen says, my life looks nothing like it did just this time last year. Great. Hallelujah. Glad to hear that. Oh, wait a minute. Looks like Rebecca wants to talk. Go ahead, Rebecca. You got the mic.
These times that we're coming into, we're going to be facing all kind of different persecutions and things, and whether we're to defend ourselves and or not. I don't think there are answers that we can necessarily have definitive answers to them right now. But I think now we need to be learning to really, really learn to live and depend on the Lord for everything. And listen to that voice and learning, you know, which directions to take. And if that's a habit, a way of life to us, I think not only in the times when we need the answers, he'll warn us even ahead of times. The Lord obviously told Paul a lot of things, what was going to happen to him, but he also knew to go ahead and go to Jerusalem, even though some things was going to be happening and he'd be arrested. But the Lord's directing all this, and I think His presence and His Spirit and His power will be on us like for what measure we need it, that's what measure He'll give it to us. And to be encouraged in these things and just really seek the Lord and learn really to follow His leading. So.
Amen, Rebecca. Good word. Thanks for sharing. Jamie, how's your system doing tonight? Is it still working? I thought Jamie might talk tonight since he got his mic working, but it looks like he's not going to say anything. Oh, Kimberly wants to say something. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
Okay. Today I remembered, because I've been looking through, my kids are on homeschool now, and I feel, praise the Lord, I got them out just in time with all the horrible, wicked things going on in public schools now. I remembered going through their history lessons that are on the computer. They have public school curriculum now, but it's on the computer, so I can monitor what they're learning, and I actually know what they are learning now, whereas I didn't before. And one of my daughters has a history unit on Islam. And I remembered it today, and we hadn't gotten to it, and I really didn't feel right about letting them learn it and teaching it to them, because I really don't want them to learn about Islam, personally. And so I asked the Lord, what should I do? You know, should I, you know, I didn't know if maybe I should just write the teacher and make a protest about it or something. And then I was seeking earnestly in my heart at that moment, and I don't always get answers this quickly, but today I did. I got an answer right away, and I remembered that we don't have to complete 100% of the lessons to be considered to have completed the history program. I can't remember what it is, but we only have to complete like 80% to be considered done. And last year, of course, I wanted to complete 100%, but we don't necessarily have to in order to get a complete grade in the history program. So I was just relieved, because I thought, well, it's only like 6 lessons or something like that. We can just skip that unit, and everything will be okay. So I was just happy about just getting an answer that quickly, and I was reminded of, like Rebecca in the Bible, when people in the Bible went to seek the Lord and they had a specific question and earnestly wanted to know the answer with their heart, you know, how she wanted to know about her children, why they were fighting in her womb, she went to the Lord, went to inquire of the Lord, and she got an answer. So when we go to inquire of the Lord and we earnestly want to know the real answer in our heart, He'll answer us. That's all.
Amen, Kim. That's right. Good word. I'm glad the Lord spoke to you and got to give you an answer for that. That's terrible. I tell you, they teach Islam in school, but they wouldn't ever teach Christianity. Oh, boy. Seed Sower says they are preparing us for the rule of Obama, and they sure are. That is coming, baby. But that's okay, because that means the kingdom's not far behind. And that's what we all want. Hugh says people just don't get it. You know, they don't get it, Hugh. You know why? They're under spirit delusion. The spirit of Antichrist is taking over the world, believe me. It's a spiritual thing. Marlo says, I can hear the terrorists laughing all the way from the Middle East. Yep, they sure are. But you're going to hear God laughing, and we're going to laugh at them when it's all over. Just remember that. Dorian says, do you think, Dan, that maybe that people will be so sick of Obama and Islam that it will swing the herd in any apostate church religious? No, I don't. I really don't. But if it does, that'd be nice. But I don't think so. Hi, dogs. I can hear them laughing all the way from Washington, D.C. Rebecca says, the Lord's getting over to the idols in their hearts. That's right. Exactly. It's a delusion. It's a spiritual delusion. It's a spiritual power behind this thing. God's allowing it. Hugh says you got to pay a high price to be ignorant. Yep, sure do. That's right, Peggy. Seems right in her own eyes. Okay, let's see. Dina wants to say something.
I just wanted to put in my 2 cents. I happen to substitute teach in a private Christian school. And as difficult as it is for us to question what in God's name would the people of this world want to vote for Barack Hussein Obama, we can at least understand that these are people in the world, they don't know the Lord, they're under strong delusion. Let me tell you what's really difficult. When you're in a third grade class with eighth graders and the kids in the room begin to chant Barack Obama, and I can't even tell you the frustration that you feel at that moment. And I stopped the class and I said to one of the children, I said, before you understand and start chanting, you have to understand what these people stand for. You need to go home and you need to study and you need to see which each one represents. Then you can decide who you want to vote, because they were doing this little political thing in class and doing like a mock debate. And this little girl said to me, I don't care whether or not he follows God. Because I said to them, you have to see if these people follow the Lord and what God's word says. I don't care if he follows the Lord, as long as he wins. Now, you and I both know that this is not coming out of the mind of an 8-year-old. This is what she's hearing at home. And this is a Christian school. A Christian school. And you're wondering to yourself, I just can't even believe it. It's just, it's overwhelming and it's shocking to me that they would even begin. And we, like I said, I know it's not coming from an 8-year-old. I understand that this isn't the mentality. This is what they're hearing at home. And they're so blinded. These are Christians. They are so blinded. They just want this man, because he's of color, in the White House, and they're going to ignore everything else. And yes, I agree with you, Short Knocker. Christian schools are not necessarily filled with Christian people. I absolutely agree with you on that. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just saying that it's very difficult to be in that scenario, in that place, and know that we're not just dealing with the world. We're dealing with so-called Christians, people who put a cross around their neck and then vote for a man that they know is supporting homosexuality, is supporting abortion, and he is going to ally himself with the Muslims against Israel. On those three points alone, I don't care what any of his policies are, on those three points alone should be enough for any person who calls himself a Christian to not even want to go down that road. So I'm just sharing that frustration I have, and I'm handing the mic back over to you. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Marlo. Listen, I understand your frustration. It's okay. I want to tell you something. It's okay to be upset at the evil, even though you know God's sending that evil. That doesn't make sense to some people, but you remember when God sent the Babylonians to destroy Israel, that was a judgment on Israel. He raised up a wicked, evil empire to destroy his people, not totally, but to bring judgment, you know, upon his people, because they were turning their back on him. Okay, and the psalmist knew that that was the judgment of God, and said it was the judgment of God. But after he said it, he knew it was the judgment of God, he also said, "Blessed be the man who taketh your children and dashes his head upon a rock." Speaking about the Babylonians. So, even though the psalmist knew that God was going to send the Babylonians to judge Israel, they deserved it. It was God's will to come on them because of what they did. He still hated that evil. He was waiting for the day when they would get paid back. So it's not wrong to hate the evil that you know God's sending as a judgment on his nation. Barack Obama, the left-wing media, all these communists and radicals, insane psychopaths, they're the judgment on this nation. But it's not wrong to hate them. So I can say I know God's sending them. They need to be sent, but I still hate them. And I'll be glad to see them get theirs in hell. So don't feel bad about being upset, all right? Seed Sower says, because they have not received love of the truth. God, that's right. Christians and non-Christians. That applies to everybody. Who says, when God sent a deceiving spirit on Ahab, and when he went with the prophet Micah, that's right. Amen. Creaky says, they won't release his college records. That's right, they won't. Jamie says, I'm sorry I didn't throw my 2 cents worth in. I'm really tired. Good night. Goodbye, brother. Maybe next week you can talk. Okay? Seed Sower, we all have your words about the compound nation. Amen. Hugh says, I like what you said about American Eve judgment. Yeah, it does. And I don't see any Isaiahs out there. It's a shame. Every letter I get, every email I get, everything I read is, oh, pray, pray, pray for God saves the nation. A lot of idolatry going on for this country and Christians. Anybody else have anything? Our Savior walked the path before us. Amen. You ever hear that old spiritual? Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. You ever hear that one? Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. Maybe I'll see you sometime on my guitar. I can't sing without a guitar, buddy. Oh, no, very bad. We'll do it next week, all right? I'll try and get it for you next week, okay? Anybody else have anything? Last call. Francis, you're welcome. God bless you, Fran. Thanks for dropping by. Amen. All right, guys, ladies, gentlemen, brothers, sisters. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your input. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.